Shall we play a game?
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Boy, are we ever stocked up with the crazy here. Good morning. Welcome into today's edition of The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping you're having a terrific day and that all things are going well for you and yours. It is the Tuesday edition of the podcast, Tuesday, November 5th, 2019. I'm a little distracted. My apologies. Do you ever have issues after doing an update of your operating system on your computers, whatever, but I seem to have had a little issue, and I'm looking at one of my computers now, and it's staring back at me with blank eyes like, I don't know what's going on here, man. So I don't hear nothing. Well, apologies to Facebook Live listeners today. I think the Facebook Live audio link is broken. But since you can't hear me, I can't tell you that. Now, I did post a note. If you look at the top of your link, your little notice about this, it says that there may be audio problems. So just get today's podcast to listen to the show. That's all I can say. And it's this happens from time to time when you update your operating system. Some programs that you use on a regular basis look at the new operating system and say, well, I'm not playing with him. That's kind of what happened last night as I updated my MacBook Pro to the new Catalina operating system from Apple. And there's a bunch I've noticed in skimming through apps. There's a bunch of them that have that little do not symbol on them. And that means there's a lot of them that aren't going to play nicely with Catalina. So I waited. I waited a couple of weeks to give it time, to give them time to do some updates and to fix some little things and for app developers to push out the latest versions of their apps. And still there are some things that just aren't right. Well, I guess we'll live, I hope. But otherwise, it seems to be a hunky and dory day in the neighborhood. All things seem to be going well. Hopefully you are as well. I'm kind of skimming forward here trying to find what I want to talk about. It's news-wise, it's kind of more of the same. It seems like we're on this endless cycle of repeating. It's almost like Groundhog Day, where the stories are almost the same day after day after day. And as hard as you dig, it's hard to find fresh stuff to talk about. But fortunately, the Washington Nationals went to the White House. At least most of them did. The pitcher decided he wouldn't, but the rest of them did. And the results have liberals chewing on their own backbones. It's just insane the way these people are reacting. Nationals catcher Kurt Suzuki left President Trump speechless yesterday when he stepped up to the microphone after being introduced and reached in and pulled out a Make America Great Again hat and put it on as he stepped to the mic to celebrate a World Series win at the White House. Trump invited the Nationals to celebrate their victory in front of a massive crowd at the White House. The president allowed each of the players to say a few words while recapping their performance in the championship season. When Trump introduced Suzuki, he pulled out his red hat and thanked the president for inviting them. He said, I love you all, Suzuki told the crowd of Nationals fans. Trump's jaw dropped when Suzuki put on the hat. The president hugged him and told the crowd, I love him. What a job he did. He added, I didn't know that was going to happen. Not every Nationals player was excited to see Trump. Pitcher Sean Doolittle declined. He declined the invitation to the White House. He said, at the end of the day, as much as I wanted to be there with my teammates and share that experience with my teammates, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Why can't he do it? Because he is a weenie. That's why he couldn't do it. So all I have to say is shame on Sean Doolittle. Of course, leftists, liberals, progressives are all congratulating him and patting him on the back, saying, hey, that was brave. That was exceptional. Good for you. You stood up. Really? Let's just assess this for just a moment. It's an opportunity to go to the nation's capital, to be congratulated by the nation through the person of the President of the United States for an incredible accomplishment. Because when you think about it, the Nationals are a lot like the Cubs. They struggle and struggle and struggle, but never get anywhere. And this year, they actually won the series. they, all of them in unison, together as one, should have gone to the White House and said to the world, we did it. Thanks for standing with us. To our fans, that is. Thanks for standing with us. But did he? No. No. He decided to go sit in a corner and suck his thumb. But congratulations to the Nationals. Glad they made it. It's a good thing for them. And also congratulations to Suzuki for the catcher, Suzuki, for stepping forward and doing something impressive. Good for him. I think that also shows us what you and I already really know. And that is that in spite of all of the negative press, in spite of all of the condescending tongue wagging going on from the left in the entertainment and sports industries, because sports is an entertainment industry, in spite of all of that, most of America is solidly behind our president. And that is evidenced by the fact that, well, let's take this for example. Kentucky, last night, another huge rally in Kentucky. Lots and lots of people were there. Hang on here, let me find it. I think it was 27,000 people. 27,000 people were there at the Trump rally in Kentucky. And there's a breakdown. I'm trying to pull it up right now. There's a breakdown of the crowd and what backgrounds, what status they had. And it's an interesting breakdown. And it'll show us something that the progressive press is not telling us. Here we go. There were 27,285 voters identified. Did you know this, that they actually do breakdowns? They do stats on the crowds on these things? Yeah, they do. 27,285 voters were identified. 28% of those voted once or less in the last four elections. 14% had not voted in any. Nearly 100% of them were from Kentucky. And here's the stat that's the most important, in my opinion. 23% of the crowd, 23% of those 27,285 actual voters in the crowd were Democrats. Yeah. Whoa. 23%, almost a quarter of the voters in the crowd were Democrats. I think that there is a sizable Democrat defection taking shape for 2020. I think that Democrats, reasonable thinking, honest Democrats, not just those who accept and regurgitate everything they're told, but reasonable, honest Democrats are looking at their options and realizing they have none. They're looking at the lineup and they're realizing none of those people are qualified to run a nation. They're looking at those candidates, the people running for the nomination, and realizing these people are all clueless or crazy. They're also looking at the rumors we're hearing about who could step into the race, because we're hearing that Hillary Clinton could step into the race. It's funny how she made some ripples in the space-time continuum in the last few weeks, and then suddenly she's kind of quiet. Like maybe somebody came to her and said, hey, that's too much too soon. I'm just saying. But they're looking at that possibility as well, and they realized, you know, we didn't like her in 2016. Why should we like her now? These honest, honest Democrats, real voters, are looking at what's happening in Washington, D.C. behind closed doors. They watched what happened with Brett Kavanaugh. They've been watching what's been happening with the Russia allegations. And now they're watching what's happening with the Ukraine allegations and the impeachment push. And they realize they can't vote Democrat again. It's just a matter of time before the defection shows, and really does show. Yes, I know. Even Fox News has come out with a poll saying that Donald Trump is tied or behind Democrats in the race currently. But when you do the breakdown of their polling, you see that it's unbalanced, that the majority of those polled were Democrats. It's important to go look at the breakdowns of polls. Just like it's important to look at the breakdown of the Kentucky rally. 27,285 voters, 28% voted once or less in the last four elections, 14 not at all, 23% of them were Democrat. 23%. Is there a Democrat rebellion about to take place? A Democrat defection? I think there is. And I think once again, a year from today, on Election Day 2020, I think the pundits are all going to be quoting the polls. I think the experts will all be on their panels. I think they'll all be talking about how the Democrat is going to lay waste to Donald Trump and he has no chance of winning. And Donald Trump will once again win in an Electoral College landslide. I think that's exactly what's going to happen again. And also, I think even though we don't have a popular vote in America, when the real numbers come in, you'll see that he garnered the majority of the popular vote. But please remember, the United States of America was set up in such a way that the mob could not rule over the minority, which is why we are not a democracy. Because democracy is mob rule. It is, remember the old illustration, it's two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for lunch. And the wolves win. So, there is no popular vote in America. I just want to clarify that. But I think we have a Democrat defection underway. I think things are about to happen. And I think it's going to be big news. It's going to be huge. At least I hope it is, because I'll be honest with you, if Democrats take the White House in 2020, it's over for this country. If Republicans can't hold on to the Senate, even if we can't regain the House, if a Democrat wins the White House and the Democrats take the Senate back, you can kiss your happy hiney goodbye. Your liberties will be destroyed more quickly than they were during the Obama administration, all by smiling people saying they're doing good for the country and everything is fair and everything is for the benefit of the people. They'll smile and lie to you as they take away your liberties. So it's extremely important that conservative people regain control and set things straight once again and repair the damage, continue to repair the damage done by the Obama administration over 8 years. Because his fundamental transformation of the United States of America damaged more than you and I know. And it damaged us on the world front as well. It was a terrible thing that he did to this nation, and the progressives who supported him cheered on. And since somebody who actually is not a member of the corrupt insider community in Washington, D.C. is now running things, we're repairing the damage that was done, and we need to continue that repair. Because as I said yesterday, you don't transform something you love. You restore it. If you love America, you'll want to restore what's truthfully made this country great instead of undermining it, chipping away at it, and taking it away as the progressives would like us to do. Mm-mm-mm. President Trump is also going to be making another sporting event appearance. We'll take a look at that coming up after the break. As this Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective continues. Alles klar, Herr Kommissar. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Hi there. Good to have you along today on this Tuesday edition of the podcast. I'm watching the notes on the Facebook page. Yeah, they're not getting any audio. I thought so. Oh, well. I have a solution for that. I just can't do it while everything is running. So after the podcast today, after I record, then I'll fix that problem. And tomorrow, all will be well. All right. Okay. Moving forward, I mentioned that the president will be attending another sporting event. Multiple sources are now confirming that President Donald Trump is expected to attend the Alabama versus LSU game this Saturday. A political analyst, Steve Flowers from CBS 42 in Birmingham, says, I had direct contact with Senator Shelby's office and with Congressman Burns' office. They both informed me personally that Trump was going to be there and that they invited him. The FAA is also advising that the president will travel to Tuscaloosa for the game. Chairman Terry Lathan with the Alabama Republican Party says, I think he'll receive a very, very strong and warm welcome from the people at the stadium. Our state being the number one highest approval rated state for the president with one of the number one teams in some of the polling. I'm hoping everyone can handle it. I'm expecting a sonic boom. I don't know if it's on the scoreboard or just the president, but we're feeling really, really good about his visit. Councilman Kip Tyner also spoke about the president's expected visit to the city. Hang on a second here. I hate pop-up ads. I just hate pop-up ads. Gah. Councilman Kip Tyner also spoke about the president's expected visit to the city. Like the major said earlier when he made the council aware, the mayor said earlier when he made the council aware of it, it's always an honor for a sitting president to visit your city, so this already creates more excitement for the Alabama-LSU game. As if we needed more excitement. The University of Alabama is working on preparations as President Donald Trump is set to attend Saturday's game against the LSU Tigers at Bryant-Denny Stadium. The game will feature the number one and number two ranked teams in the country. Both teams come in at 8-0, tied for the first place in the SEC West. President Trump was on hand when the Crimson Tide defeated the Georgia Bulldogs in the 2017 national championship. The president has also been attending multiple sporting events in recent weeks. He attended Game 5 of the 2019 World Series in Washington, D.C. He was also at the UFC 244 Saturday night. The game is set to kick off at 2:30 p.m., and it will be on CBS. And in Birmingham, CBS 42. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I think he will get a huge positive reception because the president is loved in the state of Alabama. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out Saturday. But once again, the president appearing at a sporting event. And there's been a lot of fluff about that Ultimate Fighting Championship thing that happened the other night and talking about all the boos in the crowd. The truth of the matter is there were people there who cheered him. And there were people screaming, USA, USA. And that sounded, that sounded a lot like boos, but a lot of that wasn't booing. So there was a positive reception. And the fighters also had positive things to say about him being there. Please remember, even though you see a lot of negative press about the president, that doesn't reflect public sentiment. It's just like the polling. We're seeing the polling talking about how in a matchup, if it were to happen right now, that Trump would lose. And actually, there was one poll that said that if Hillary was in the race, she would beat out Joe Biden and Trump, which they have to be polling the psych ward for people to come away with that. Wow, that's just crazy. Well, there's a new ad that President Trump and the campaign team have released. And it says that he is no Mr. Nice Guy. And it highlights numerous things the president has been able to achieve in his first 3 years of his presidency. And it's a video ad, but I do have the audio right here.
President Trump is changing Washington, creating 6 million new jobs, 500,000 new manufacturing jobs, cutting illegal immigration in half, obliterating ISIS, their caliphate destroyed, their terrorist leader dead. But the Democrats would rather focus on impeachment and phony investigations, ignoring the real issues. But that's not stopping Donald Trump. He's no Mr. Nice Guy, but sometimes it takes a Donald Trump to change Washington.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Now, the ad did air initially during Game 7 of the World Series. In case you missed it, there you have it. And it's up online. Just do a quick search of a Donald Trump ad. The ad's contrast between Trump and the Democratic Party has anti-Trump Harvard professor Lawrence Tribe claiming it's brilliant. And he added, "We need to up our game, folks," talking to fellow Democrats. And the responses say a lot. The first one I've got here says, just do something. Do something. The next one says, Tribe nails it. RNC has tons more cash than the DNC. Democrats better get their act together and soon. First step, selecting a nominee that has a chance of beating Trump in the critical counties, in the critical states. And sorry, that's not Warren, Bernie, or Pete. See, the savvy Democrats know that the clown car has no chance of defeating Donald Trump. None. Another one says the Dems better up their game. But not everybody agreed with Lawrence Tribe's assessment. Not everybody did. For example, this one says we do need to up our game, but the ad is not brilliant, and it's unwise of you for you to say this. Okay. Another one says, that's not brilliant by any standard I've ever used the term. It may be effective, maybe, for those who are gullible enough not to look under the hood. Wow. I would just respond to that those of us who actually are looking under the hood and are honest with ourselves and with life itself realize what's really going on here. And what's really going on here is the Democrats are really committing a constitutional crime. They are doing something that they, I have a feeling, are going to regret. And finally, someone comments, yeah, brilliant for dummies. But I think it is brilliant. I think he's telling the truth. I think it needs to be seen. It needs to be heard. And I think I'm going to play it again.
President Trump is changing Washington, creating 6 million new jobs, 500,000 new manufacturing jobs, cutting illegal immigration in half, obliterating ISIS, their caliphate destroyed, their terrorist leader dead. But the Democrats would rather focus on impeachment and phony investigations, ignoring the real issues. But that's not stopping Donald Trump. He's no Mr. Nice Guy, but sometimes it takes a Donald Trump to change Washington.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
He's no Mr. Nice Guy. Oh, how true that is. He is no Mr. Nice Guy. And that's exactly what we have needed. I said at the very beginning, when he won the nomination, my wife Jane and I were talking, and I told her, you know, he is a street fighter. He's had to deal with politicians in New York City. His business has had to deal with the corruption that is New York City politics. He has had to deal with national corruption as well from time to time. He's had to deal with international corruption as well in his international dealings as a businessman. He has been very, very successful in spite of all of the corrupt people he's had to deal with. He knows how to deal with crooks. He knows how to deal with con artists and criminals. He knows. He may well be the best suited candidate to deal with the corruption that's going on in Washington, D.C. to reverse the downward spiral course of this nation. And it turns out that observation was dead on. He's smiling. He's wading forward through the sewage that is the atmosphere in Washington, D.C. He's winning. And so are all of us as a result. In spite of all of the negativity that's happening in the press, in spite of all of the polling that's saying he can't win, he's moving things forward. He's being successful. And he is reversing the damage done by the previous administration and those before it. He is peeling back the layers of the onion that is progressivism, and they're all crying about it. They're not happy. Understandably so. Because they're being revealed for who and what they truly are. And I've also said this before, I think that was his plan from the beginning. Was just to, every now and then, throw a little something out. Well, every now and then, every day on Twitter, throw something out that causes the progressives to react from the gut. Not to intelligently, thoughtfully respond, but to react. So that we can see, in the light of day, who and what these people really are. And I think it's being effective. Very effective. It's working. He's winning. And so are we. More after the break, as the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It is the Tuesday edition of the podcast. We're looking at basically the absurdity that is life in political America today. It is, it's an interesting situation we have here. And sometimes it can be disheartening and discouraging. If you watch the news, even over at Fox News, which we used to trust to be truly fair and balanced, just presenting the facts and letting us decide what was going on. Now we see, even on their hard news programming, we see opinion and slanting, and it's disappointing. It's disappointing. Which is why I encourage you to seek other news outlets, to seek other information sources. Because honestly, we really can't trust the mainstream press. Because the vast majority of the mainstream press has been indoctrinated by the progressives. And they see things through that bizarre lens. It is not real. As I've said before, to be progressive, you have to deny reality. Well, you and I, because we're level-headed, honest people, we have to accept reality and live in it. We can't just decide we'd like to live in a fantasy and condemn everybody who doesn't agree with us. And we see that going on around us a lot. And right now, the chief purveyor of this insanity is Democrat Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff, according to Herman Cain, HermanCain.com, that is, in an article written by Dan Calabrese, Adam Schiff just lies without hesitation or remorse. He's been doing it for quite a while now. He ran around for 2 years claiming he had smoking gun evidence that proved President Trump colluded with the Russians. He had nothing. He'd been lying the whole time. Just as an aside, I think he was counting on Charamella, his spy in the White House, to deliver information. And Charamella was telling him, oh yeah, I'm getting some good stuff here. So Schiff was walking out on a regular basis saying, smoking gun evidence, you're going to see it soon. And there was nothing to see. Nothing. When Schiff began the current impeachment proceedings, he read what appeared to be a transcript of Trump's call with the president of Ukraine. And it made Trump sound completely corrupt and engaged in a blatant abuse of power. That's because it wasn't the real transcript. Schiff made the whole thing up. And when he was called on it, he claimed it was just a parody. Got it. This sort of thing is why we so often compare Schiff to the corrupt, fictional President Charles Logan from the TV show 24. Yes, they look alike, but the comparison wouldn't have legs if Schiff didn't also share Logan's penchant for lying and cheating to get his way. Don't worry, Adam. It's just a parody. And one of the biggest lies Schiff has been running around telling lately is that the running of this inquiry, he's employing the same rules Newt Gingrich employed when Newt was Speaker of the House during the impeachment of Bill Clinton in 1998. This is Schiff's latest attempt to defend his use of closed-door secret hearings, refusal to give Republicans freedom to call witnesses or ask questions, and to forbid everyone from revealing what goes on in these hearings, even as he selectively leaks to his media friends. It's important to remember, stepping away from the article for a second here, it's important to remember that when Bill Clinton was impeached, it was after finding him guilty of 11 crimes. 11. Guilty. 11 times. President Trump? Zero. None. Back to the article. Was this really how Gingrich did it in 1998? Mr. Newt says, no, not even close. He says both Democratic Judiciary Committee Chairman Peter Rodino in 1973 and Republican Judicial Committee Chairman Henry Hyde in 1998 set a standard for fairness and operated with a judicial temperament of seeking the truth rather than maximizing partisan advantage. In 1973, Rodina set the gold standard for fairness. The rights of the minority were protected. The American people's right to know what was going on was protected. Chairman Rodino himself set a standard for fairness and seriousness as a congressman exercising constitutional oversight. In fact, the Rodina rules for bipartisanship were widely considered so fair and legitimate that when we were faced with a special counsel report charging that President Clinton had committed 11 potentially impeachable offenses, our initial response was bipartisan. Democratic leader Dick Gephardt and I held a joint press conference announcing that we had agreed the entire report should be published so the American people could make up their own minds. Compare their behavior with the wild lies of Chairman Adam Schiff that he's been telling for 2 years. First about the Russian collusion hoax, and now about the Ukrainian absurdity. If you read the opening statements of Rodino and Hyde, and then look at the profoundly dishonest, totally made up, and entirely false opening statement of Schiff, you can see the difference between people who are trying to uphold the rule of law and people who seek to destroy a president at any cost. The result of these two very different approaches can be seen in the voting pattern in the House. In November 1973, the House voted to fund the investigation into President Nixon on a bipartisan 367-51 vote. By February of 1974, everyone was so convinced that Rodino was being fair and nonpartisan that the resolution to conduct a formal investigation passed 410-4. When we were faced with a Starr report, we were in a more polarized environment. The Clinton team had concluded that they had to run a very partisan defense. Despite the intense efforts of James Carville and others to polarize the Democrats, we continued to push with Henry Hyde in an open way. Gingrich's process was so open and fair that among House Democrats, the vote was 138-63 to proceed with the inquiry. That's nothing like the result of last week's vote on the Schiff inquiry, which got no Republican votes and didn't even get unanimous Democrat backing because two House Democrats concluded the process was too rigged and unfair for them to support it. There were no secret hearings. There was no ban on the release of documents. There was no limiting the minority's right to call witnesses and question them. There were no selective leaks. The way Schiff is doing this is nothing like the way Gingrich did it. That is a total lie. So it makes perfect sense that Adam Schiff is running around telling it. Telling lies is what Adam Schiff does. So true. I've reminded you of this before, but Adam Schiff's lying about this is much like Harry Reid lying about Mitt Romney's taxes. The Democrats, the leftists, these progressives will lie to get whatever they want. honesty and truth is an inconvenience for them. To get what they want, they will literally do anything. Personally, I leave nothing to the imagination as far as what they might do to push forward to get what they want. Because I believe they are so deeply corrupt that they would do anything to gain power and control. We've been watching them for the past couple of years. We've been watching Adam Schiff and his cohorts lie to the American people and the world about our sitting president. We've been watching them manufacture things to throw at him to prove his guilt. We've been watching them selectively leak things and hide behind closed doors so that they can selectively leak things to give Americans the impression that their president is corrupt. And we've been watching Republicans involved in this process step forward to microphones in front of news cameras and say, there's a lot going on behind closed doors you need to see, but they won't let you see it. There's been testimony that totally tears apart what their claims are, but they won't let you see it. They won't let the Republicans call witnesses. They won't let the Republicans question witnesses. And they shoot down certain questions because they don't want to discuss the truth. They just want to discuss anything that makes President Trump look corrupt. When he calls it a witch hunt, he is absolutely right. They're looking for any and everything they can pin on him to make him look like the witch so they can burn him at the stake. It reminds me of that scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail when they came upon the village that was going to dispose of the witch. She looks like one. Yeah. And they put the fake nose on her to make her look like an old hag. They'd accused her of things. All because they had to burn a witch. I think they were Democrats. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Let's dive into this final segment for this Tuesday. Got a couple of stories. I want to burn through this one pretty quickly and then get to the next one because they're both really important, but here we go. General Mike Flynn's lawyers will be filing a motion to formally ask Judge Sullivan to have him throw out the entire DOJ case for egregious government misconduct and in the interest of justice. Sidney Powell and two of Flynn's other attorneys responded to the government's surreply and accused them of not addressing the Brady material that's still being withheld from the defendant. The Justice Department on Friday responded to Flynn's lawyer Sidney Powell's motion to compel production of Brady material and to hold prosecutors in contempt. Sidney Powell filed a motion a couple of weeks ago revealing that General Flynn was indeed set up by the FBI with an ambush, damaging leaks, and altered 302 reports, those we heard about just the other day, if you'll recall, that Lisa Page of Strzok and Page, remember them? The FBI agent did alter the 302 reports to make Flynn look guilty. Powell revealed that former FBI lawyer Lisa Page did edit General Mike Flynn's 302 report, then lied to the DOJ about the edits. A 302 summary report consists of contemporaneous notes taken by an FBI agent when interviewing a subject. The filing said Lisa Page, special counsel to Deputy Director McCabe, resigned. She edited Mr. Flynn's 302 and was part of a small, high-level group that strategically planned his ambush. The DOJ Friday argued in a surreply that Sidney Powell's motion should be denied because there were no material charges made after 2/10/2017 to the draft of the January 24 interview report. However, there is evidence to the contrary. The filing said, in conclusion, yes, the government engaged in conduct so shocking to the conscience and so inimical inimical to our system of justice that it requires the dismissal of the charges for outrageous government conduct. Flynn's lawyers did not give a specific time when the motion would be filed. They say at the appropriate time, Mr. Flynn will file a separate motion asking that the court dismiss the prosecution for egregious government misconduct. And in the interest of justice, Mr. Flynn is entitled to discovery of the materials he has requested in these motions and a brief that will help him support such a motion. Now, General Flynn was quite obviously, now that we know what we know, was quite obviously thrown under the bus, was quite honestly sacrificed on the altar of progressivism in the effort to destroy Donald Trump. But now we know. Now we know that a corrupt DOJ was at work the entire time. And now, knowing what we know, you and I need to continue to put pressure on our representatives in D.C. to make sure that General Flynn gets this case thrown out and is exonerated. It needs to happen. It needs to happen. Also important today, actually less than an hour ago, James O'Keefe released another video from Project Veritas. This one is about the Epstein death. He said yesterday it's time to raise the stakes after his exposed CNN series. He said a new insider has come to Project Veritas with secret recordings. They released the Epstein recordings this morning, less than an hour ago. This morning at 8 a.m., 9 a.m. Eastern. They're on YouTube right now. In fact, you can go to YouTube.com and enter Project Veritas, and the latest from Project Veritas right on the top of my list is this video. Leaked ABC News insider recording exposes Epstein cover-up. Quote, we had Clinton, we had everything. Further in the description, it says, I've had this story. Hang on here. We have, it's coming up. I've had this story for 3 years. ABC would not put it on the air. That's what was said by Good Morning America breaking news anchor and 2020 co-anchor Amy Robach. It was unbelievable. We had Clinton, we had everything. We had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew. I got a little concerned about why I couldn't get on. She describes how she was interviewed. She interviewed a woman who had the courage to come forward years ago about Epstein. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. And ABC's initial response to her was, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. And now it's all coming out. So today, I would say as soon as you get finished listening to this, go to YouTube, watch this video. It's 7.5 minutes long. You can afford 7.5 minutes of your time. Find out what happened. You've probably seen on social media all of the memes in recent days about Jeffrey Epstein not killing himself, not committing suicide. They're everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. I can't scan Twitter for more than a minute without another one popping up. Because thinking people, rational, reasonable, honest thinking people, don't accept what they've been told about the way he died. They don't accept it at all. They say he used the sheet off of his cell room bed to create a noose. They say he tied that noose to the top bunk and then hung himself. Jeffrey Epstein was taller than the top bunk. He was on his knees when they found him with the sheet around his neck. The height was not enough to cause the breaking of the bones in his neck that were broken. The guards were asleep. The cameras weren't operational. The cellmate that was supposed to be there was transferred. people heard shrieking and screaming. Everything points to him being killed, not committing suicide. And the news media, the leftist news media, is all saying, it's a non-story. Nobody knows who this guy is. Nothing to see here. Move on. What's next? That's what they're saying. Much like what happened in Las Vegas with the shooter, we're being denied the information we need to understand what truly happened. We can't let this die. And James O'Keefe is doing a good job of keeping it from dying. And I really hope that you'll go watch it today, that you'll find out what he has to say about what happened. Since it was released while I was recording this podcast, I still haven't seen it. But as soon as I finish, I've got it up on my computer screen right now. As soon as I finish, as soon as I end this podcast, as soon as I stop recording, I will start playing this video to see everything in it. Because I want to see what they have to say. Because I believe, personally, just from what we can see, that we're not being told the truth. And that we need to know. We need to know what really happened to Jeffrey Epstein. We need to know how it happened, why it happened, who was behind it. And we need to know what he knew. We need to know what information he had on who in Washington, D.C. and beyond. We need to know what these people are so desperate to hide from us. Because the more I look at this, the more I'm convinced that Jeffrey Epstein, as sleazy and nasty as a character he was, had a lot of dirt on a lot of people and could have done a lot of damage had his information come out in court. And because of that, the cameras didn't work, the guards fell asleep, and his roommate was transferred, and suddenly he was dead. That's it for today. Watch that video. We'll get back together tomorrow. Have a good one. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.